The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening and welcome to the second hour of Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, November 16th, 2014. Broadcasting from the studios at WGBB 1240 AM in West Babylon, New York. I'm Gary Harding, and John Panarese, of course, is always here in front of me. And Brian Gray is on the other side of the glass. In the first half hour, we're going to talk to Christian Arnold from SNY Islanders Point Blank to discuss the recent rumblings of the best team in New York right now. And who would have ever thought you'd be saying the Islanders right now are the best team in New York?
Especially in November.
Exactly. It's been almost a November to remember. Unfortunately, a tough game last night with a 5-2 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning. But we're going to talk to Christian, and we're going to discuss all things Islanders. And in the second half hour, we're going to take your phone calls as well. 631-888-8811 is the number to get in touch with John and I here at WGBB. And we hope you do tonight. And again, we're not going to talk. We won't talk just Islanders. I mean, we'll discuss other things that are going on. I mean, John and I were sitting in the waiting room area talking about the lovely day that Mr. Manning had, and I know the guys were talking about it. And, you know, a tough day to be a Manning, either one. Of course, Peyton had a tough loss to the St. Louis Rams, a big upset, 22-9. The Green Bay obviously had a wonderful day with from Aaron Rodgers and a 53-20 win over the Philadelphia Eagles today. Some very interesting things. And, again, we're talking about it earlier, about the fact that the NFC South, the teams that are in first place in a tie at 4-6.
Who would have thunk that?
Yeah, I mean, whoops. Anyway, so, again, so looking at John has been, if you're actually looking on the webcam right now, he's the tanner of the two of us. he just came home from Southwest Florida. Nice to have little vacation time. And let me say on behalf of all of our friends and stuff, and I know his brother's here, John unfortunately had his father pass away a couple weeks ago. My definite condolences. I know many other people asked me to express it as well.
Thank you.
But you had a nice week being away, and with the team being on the road, I know you unfortunately couldn't get much of a feed.
Yeah, because it was local in Florida. Which was, I mean, I got to see catch the game on Tuesday, the 6-0 win over Colorado. I guess the second and third periods. And I was like, oh, great. I can, you know, because I think, my thinking is, I'm not in New York. I can catch the eye on the game on Game Center. Nope. These games are local in your area. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah. But you know what? I think you should find out in the future, because I thought if you have a New York account, you should still be able to see your New York feed. But, again, we'll have to check that out at another point. But, again, a five-game winning streak, unfortunately lost last night. But, you know, you look at last night's game, a 5-2 loss, you look at the number and you say, ah, that's a tough game. They probably didn't play that well. But, truthfully, I don't think the Islanders had a bad game. I think there was just a couple of little serious mistakes that they made that caused some goals to be scored. But you look at the problem that so it always seems to happen when the team is not playing well, the power play doesn't respond.
No.
And that you noticed during the first 15 games of the season, that was the one thing that made the team be a little bit more stronger against, especially the tougher teams like the Anaheims and LAs, is that they had the power play working.
Right, right.
So with that point, our guest is on the line, and he's actually co-hosted with me when you were away one week, John, from SNY Islanders Point Blank. Christian Arnold is on the line with us. Christian, good evening. It's John and Gary, and how are you on this Sunday night?
I'm doing well. Good to hear from you, Gary. You as well, John. Pleasure to talk to both of you. How are you?
All right, pretty good. So we were just talking about the game last night. What's your take? I mean, you look at the number, you look at the score just on the numeric only, and you see 5-2. But I don't really think the Islanders played as bad of a game as a 5-2 score would show.
Yeah, no, I think it was more there were a couple mistakes, and, you know, we've seen it in the past. There were just a couple mistakes that really caught the Islanders and put them in a bind. And I think that's what you saw last night. 5-2 was obviously the numerical score, but I don't think the score is necessarily indicative of how the Islanders played last night. I agree with you that they played a good hockey game. They just made a couple mistakes and it got to them, and it cost the Islanders a win. And I think you kind of saw that on Friday night in Florida as well, but they were able to come away with a win in that one. So, it's a loss stinks, especially with the way the Islanders are playing the last couple games, but I don't necessarily think it's something that really is anything that anyone should be concerned about. It was a bad loss. They made a couple mistakes, and they'll rebound from it.
Well, here's, you know, I have to ask you this, Christian, because I had a couple of discussions with Islander fan friends of mine. This point in November, November 16th, 11-5 record. Are you surprised as I am? You know, I figured they would do well, but 11-5 at this point.
No, I mean, if someone came up to me and said, you know, you'd have the Islanders would have an 11-5 record. 11-6, I think.
At this point, 11-6, right. Yeah.
11-6 now at this point. I probably be a little skeptical. I mean, we all, you know, we've all followed this team for a long time, and we know about the November swoon that the Islanders have every year for whatever reason. But I'm pretty surprised at where the Islanders stand. I think we all thought this was going to be a good team, but to be 11-6 now is a great start for the Islanders. And you know, I've been talking to people. You know, media people and obviously people that I know who are friends of mine who are Islander fans. It's good to have these wins in the can now when the season gets later on, when the Islanders maybe they start, you know, losing a couple games in a row, but they have these points already built up. It's something that in years past we've seen where the Islanders start winning January, February, and late December, and they necessarily are already out because they wasted opportunities earlier in the season to get points early on. And this year, you can't really say that. I mean, they've beaten, for the most part, they've beaten teams that they should have, and they've gotten some pretty big points the last couple of weeks and really the last month and a half of the season. So 11-6 is quite a surprise. Like I said, I think we all thought the Islanders would be a lot better than they were last year, but 11-6 and where they are in the Metropolitan, nipping at the heels of the Penguins, and, you know, it's one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference right now, is quite the surprise to everyone, myself included.
Looking at, you know, with the return of Josh Bailey last night or the other night and played a very good game, I think, on the front line with JT and Kyle Oposo. Now, obviously, the return of Michael Grabner is imminent. I don't know if it's going to be whether it's this week with the beginning of this week or possibly the end of this week with the home-and-home with Pittsburgh. What do you think is the going to be the effect of it? I mean, obviously, you know, the injury to Clutterbuck allowed Konecker to return to the lineup, but he's going to, you know, there's some big decisions coming, you know, and what are you going to do, you know, with all these excess forwards on that are basically on the roster at this point?
Yeah, no, it's an interesting question because it's something that, you know, me and Brian Compton have discussed on the podcast that we do for Islanders Wrestling Flank. And, you know, it's a discussion I've had with a lot of people, and it's an interesting situation because up until this point, really, the Islanders and Jack Capuano have really gotten away with the fact that they haven't had to make those tough roster decisions with the excess of forwards that they have. And I think this is really when Grabner comes back, and I think he's come back a lot quicker than a lot of people expected he'd be recovering. It really forced the Islanders' hand to make some tough decisions. Now, I thought Corey Konecker was going to be the first guy to come out of the roster when Josh Bailey came back, and that was the case. Obviously, the injury to Cal Clutterbuck kind of, they allowed him the chance and opportunity to get back in, but I think that it's going to be one of those fourth-line guys, possibly Casey Sekas, possibly Matt Martin even. You know, I know that's kind of blasphemous to say because everybody loves Matt Martin and what he brings to the Islanders.
Great, Christian. You just took 50% of the female population away from the show. Good job.
Hey, John and Josh are some pretty good-looking guys, you know, so there's that. But, you know, Matt Martin is a guy that, and Casey Zekas too, I will say that those guys are two players that haven't necessarily, you know, played up to the potential that Jack Capuano has wanted for his fourth line roster. So I think it's one of those guys that come out when Cal Clutterbuck is obviously back to 100% when Michael Grabner comes back. Because, I mean, the one thing that it's also tough is that line combinations that have been juggled so much throughout the season. But I think if you look at the last game, especially against Colorado, where you had Corey Konecker there and you had more of this sort of this interesting fourth line where it was a hybrid fourth line in the sense that they were out there, they could throw hits, they could, they're going to hit you hard, but they're also going to take it to you and they're going to create scoring opportunities. So I think it creates an opportunity where maybe it's a discussion. Maybe you have Grabner, you slot him in there every once in a while on the fourth line so that you have four lines that can score as well as not just necessarily play good in their own end, because I mean right now it's a very interesting mix of who goes where. Even the top line is still unclear. I like Nikolai Kuhlman up on the top line, But, I mean, Josh Bailey had a great game, too, up there. So it's interesting to see how this all shakes up. But to answer your original question, I think it's one of those fourth-line guys. Konecker comes back out of the lineup when quarterback's healthy. And then I think it's either Martin or Cizikas that come out of the fourth line when Grabner gets healthy.
I think that's probably a distinct possibility. What you know, it's, again, going back to discussions I've been having, and I guess you could point out a lot of different areas, but what's been the biggest surprise to you as far as either the play of a specific player or players? Because there's a couple of guys who jump right in, obviously, to the forefront in my mind.
Yeah, no, I mean, Brock Nelson, obviously, he was on fire. You know, he was joking around the first couple days of the season because he was leading in points or goals or something like that. And a friend had actually screen captioned that sent to him, so it's something he jokingly said that he was saving. But you know, there's a lot of guys. Josh Bailey too. He took a lot of harsh criticism over the last couple of years, and especially last year, the season that he had. And you know, he doesn't pretend like he didn't have a bad season last year, but I liked his attitude through training camp and into the season in the sense that he was just like, it happened. I'm tired of talking about it. I've moved on, and I'm ready to have a good year. And he started off the year pretty hot, and, you know, you saw him play good hockey the last couple games as well. So I think Josh Bailey is another guy that has come out and surprised you. Johnny Boychuk, hot start. We all knew what kind of player we were getting when the Islanders picked up Johnny Boychuk, but the shot that he has, the firepower that he has, and obviously the size that he has been crucial for the Islanders' blue line. Nick Leddy has also been really good back there, more of an underrated player. And then I think there's something also to be said about Grabowski and Kuhlman, who a lot of people liked the signing, but they were still hesitant about the money that the Islanders gave them both and if they were going to be able to do what they did a couple years ago back into Toronto. And I think both players have given, although they're not necessarily lighting up the score sheet every night, they've given the Islanders, especially Kuhlman, a very solid two-way players that are very responsible with the puck, know how to play in their own end, and they create chances for the players that they play alongside. So I think that's a laundry list of guys that I kind of rattled off there, but I think those are guys that really have stood out in my mind the first couple month and a half of the season.
Well, it's funny. I was, before we came on the air, John and I were talking, and I actually related Nikolai Kuhlman to Patrick Flatley. I called him the Russian lard butt because to me, when you close your eyes and you think of Patrick Flatley, you think about guys that work so hard in the corners to get the puck out. I mean, Kuhlman does that and then some. I mean, he's more of a pest actually than Flatley was. Flatley was a grinder and stuff, but seems like Kuhlman gets under a lot of people's skin, and that's something you can't. To me, you can't teach a hockey player. You either have it or you don't. And, you know, as you said, he's worked well on the front line, too. That's why I'm kind of on the fence between him and Bailey. But, you know, if I don't say Bailey's on the front line, my wife will beat me up when I get home. and she's listening. Hi, Claire. But, you know, it's these are decisions that Jack Capuano hasn't had to make in his tenure until now, and it's a tough thing. And you know, judging by the fact that Bridgeport is doing fantastically well, they're in first place, and they've got, and again, we said it in last month's show, you got guys in Bridgeport that are pissed, pardon my French, that they want to get back and they want to be able to make the big club, so they're going to play their tails off and try to get back in. Case in point, Ryan Pulock got 4 goals this weekend. You know, he's another guy that's going to try to force himself back into the lineup. And while we were talking about players, and maybe you can shed some light on this, we were talking about this too. What do you think about the fact that there's 17 games been played and Matt Donovan has not played in one? Is that a mistake?
Just,
I mean, I know the fact is you're going to expose him to waivers, and I guarantee he's going to get taken. And hopefully Matt's mom in Oklahoma is listening too, and you know I'm a supporter of him. But I mean, what is your take of it? What do you think? Why would you keep this guy sitting on the pine all this time?
I think I agree with you. The fact that he sat on the bench and you know he's not played a game yet, it's a very interesting situation. Now, when Brian Strait was in the roster every night, and you know he was not playing good hockey. Really, for most games he was out on the ice, Brian Strait was more of a more of a defensive liability than helpful for the Islanders. And it was a question that you could really ask yourself, why is Matt Donovan? I mean, you know, I necessarily, and, you know, don't get mad at me, I never was that impressed with Matt Donovan. I think he's a good hockey player, but, I mean, when you watched him play the last couple of years, I've seen a lot of things that he still needed to work on, and there were some mistakes that he was making that were costing the Islanders. But, I mean, when you looked at the way Brian Strait was playing the first couple of games of the year, it was hard to say, well, if you put Matt Donovan, it couldn't get any worse.
Definitely well taken. Right. I mean, I agree. I mean, there's been some issues and some hiccups, and I think the fact that you've got a Boychuk and a Leddy here has obviously derailed him in a sense of getting playing time. But
right.
you got to think the way, you know, and again, Brian Strait's a nice guy too, but he has not come out with any gash and gusto to deserve a chance, to deserve a spot in that lineup. And I mean, you know, you got to shake the trees a little bit. You know, why not put him in?
I agree with you. I think that during that stretch, there was a very good argument made for Matt Donovan at least getting one or two games in during that time period. But I think with the Islanders' defense now back to nearly fully healthy, it's hard to kind of say that he can outplay someone who's already in that defensive roster now. So it's tough for him to kind of earn that spot back now with everyone seemingly healthy on the Islanders' blue line. So, like I said, I agree with you when it was Brian Strait out there night after night. He was making defensive blunders, and it was really hard to say, well, Matt Donovan, you know, can't play this guy, because he could. I think he could have, and it would have been a good shot. And in fairness to Matt Donovan, I will say that he's held himself pretty calm through all of this. I spoke to him once during the stretch, and he was relatively calm. You could tell he was frustrated. I mean, you know, any of us would be frustrated if you're kind of
riding the
entire time.
He's
been calm about it. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he's held himself to a very high regard, and again, kudos, you know, to him for that. But anyway,
what do you think at the, you know, this, again, to keep going back to discussions I've been having with a couple of people about this. What areas of the Islanders play that may, you know, as well as they've played with the 11-6 record, it may still be a little bit of a concern to you?
I mean, it's been interesting to see the goaltending. I think it's gotten a lot better as the stretch has gone on, the season has gone on, and defense has gotten a little more comfortable as well. But, I mean, you're still seeing some little mistakes. Obviously, the power play, special teams has been the biggest thing. You know, the power play started off probably the best start it's had in quite a while this year, and then it's really cooled off, and it's something that the Islanders scored a couple power play goals, but it's still something that they've struggled on, and it's something that I think a lot of people would agree with me on, is that they try and be too fancy sometimes.
Yeah, we would say
they try and make that perfect play, and it kills them sometimes. They pass up good opportunities, and when you saw what was making that successful early on in the season, it was just they were taking shots, and you just don't see that sometimes at this point right now where the Islanders are. They're not taking those shots they would have earlier in the season, and that's when they were capitalizing the best on. Penalty kill has obviously swung the complete other way from where it was really struggling to now with, you know, it's really done a great job for the team. I mean, there's three games that were perfect. It was, I think they were like 13 for 13 on the penalty kill or something like that. And then obviously the game in Florida ended that, but they still had a very strong penalty kill. So, special teams has been something that's kind of been up and down. You'd like to see it stay hot. You'd like to see obviously them take more shots and the penalty kill stays where it is, right now, obviously doing very well. And then another thing has been the Islanders top line hasn't necessarily been contributing as much as you'd like it to.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing I think a lot of people have noticed is that the Islanders have had a lot of secondary scoring, but John Tavares, Kyle Okposo, and insert third player on that line for that night hasn't necessarily been lighting up the scoreboard like you'd like. Obviously, Tavares is the captain, he's the leader, he's the face of the franchise, he's the guy that you want scoring a bunch of goals, topping goals, topping points, whatever. He's the guy that you want leading the way. And right now, John has been playing great hockey, don't get me wrong, but I think that he's still not 100% there. He's still not the John Tavares that everyone would expect him to be at this point in time. Now, whether that's still just, you know, kind of shaking off the rust that he had after such a long stretch of time without playing hockey or whatever it may be, I think John will come around. But right now, it seems that, you know, his play isn't up to the John Tavares standards that we all have come to expect.
Exactly. Now, Tuesday night, again, the second half of a, well, for the Islanders, it's the second half of a home-and-home. Obviously, Tampa Bay Lightning play on Monday night at Madison Square Garden before coming in. And I seriously think that Evgeny Nabokov is going to play in net tonight, Tuesday night. And I'm sure you saw the quotes and stuff that came from him. You know, you and I have been in the locker room enough to know that he is such a class guy and, you know, made sure that he, you know, said some nice things about the guys and says that he's still following them and he thinks there's a lot of great things coming. It's got to be quite interesting for him to come to return back to the island after 3 years being their goaltender, to come back as the enemy, if you will, on Tuesday night.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, everyone loves Evgeny Nabokov, not only for his candor but for his very unique personality. And obviously, I think if you pinpointed one media personality that covers the Islanders that was closest, I guess you could say, was but Evgeny Nabokov, it was Stan Fischel.
And he'll probably be there about 8 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday.
Yeah, I bet. And I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if he finds himself into the visiting locker room at some point on Tuesday. But, I mean, it's sort of been a trend for the Islanders, especially last year as well, with former players who have been here a long time coming through their old stomping grounds with a visiting team. Mark Streit did it. You know, Matt Molson obviously did it. He was, you know, I think sort of in the same boat that you kind of put Nabokov in, is that he was the fan favorite. Everyone liked him. You know, he was a guy who's been here a long time with the Islanders. I think he was here as long as Evgeny Nabokov was, or maybe a little longer. But it's sort of kind of something that everyone's used to at this point. But still, for Nabokov, it's going to be, I'm sure it'll be a little sentimental, considering this is, you know, one of his last trips to NASA Coliseum as well, building on, he's played a lot of hockey in with this the last year that the Islanders are playing there. So it'll be sentimental, I'm sure, for Nabokov. And getting to talk to him, obviously, is always a treat for anybody, whether it's a reporter or obviously his former teammates. So, you know, it's a special game, I'm sure, for him and some of the Islanders.
Well, it's definitely going to be, because, you know, I remember with Nabokov when, you know, obviously if you go back to when the Islanders first signed him and there was all that controversy, and it was always interesting to me how he turned that completely around with his personality and the way he, you know, he related to the fans and the media. And I would never have anything negative to say about him, you know, after his tenure here. But how about the Islander goaltending overall? I know we kind of touched on it when we were talking about the things that need to be improved, because it was a concern to me, particularly giving up at one point, they were like 3.8 goals against per game for a little bit there. Do you feel it's settling down a bit?
I think you're starting to see it settle down, both with the basis that obviously the Islanders' defense is healthier than it was to start the year. I think Halak and Johnson are starting to settle in with their roles on the Islanders and what they really are starting to come to expect night in and night out, the way they have to play. And I think it just took a little bit of everyone settling down. Now, obviously, Chad Johnson didn't have the greatest games last night, but like I said before, I think it was more or less the Islanders made a couple of mistakes, and it just cost them. I don't necessarily think it's indicative of the way that Chad Johnson has been playing for the Islanders, or goaltending in general has been playing for the Islanders. So I think it was more just everyone needed that period in time to settle down and adjust to the way that everyone was playing, and the goaltenders to adjust to the way the guys in front were playing in front of them. So I'm not overly concerned. I think that the way, obviously, I mean, Yaroslav Halak and Chad Johnson had some, absolutely outstanding performances so far this year for the Islanders. So it's a long, long way from what the Islanders had in net before. And I don't think that's the biggest concern anymore for this Islander squad.
Right. Well, we definitely, Christian, appreciate you coming on and talking Islanders with us. And again, to get in touch with him or to see what Christian's writing about, you can make sure you check out IslandersPointBlank.com on SNY.
It's an awesome blog.
And there's a weekly podcast with him and Brian Compton from NHL.com. And they do a great job. And Christian, again, thank you always. You're a friend of the show, and we really appreciate you coming on. And hopefully we'll see you on the concourse on Tuesday night.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Take care. Have a great night. Again, Christian Arnold from Islanders Point Blank on SNY. We're going to take a little break here and pay some bills. And when we come back, we're going to take your calls. 631-888-8811. Sports Talk 1240. Come back and let's talk some puck.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
And we're back to Sports Talk 1240 WGBB. And, of course, this portion of Sports Talk 1240 is proudly sponsored by Country Foot Care of Mineola and Williston Park. Country Foot Care provides highly personalized expert foot care on Long Island. In our fast-paced world, the experts understand the value of slowing down, pampering their patients, and offering a convenient one-stop podiatric setting. From on-site diagnostic testing to their medical foot spa, what you need for your foot and ankle concerns is there. You can visit them at countryfootcare.com or dial 516-741-FEET. I've been a patient of Dr. Brooks for over 20 years, and I highly recommend him should you be in the need of podiatric assistance. Well, again, great interview by with Christian. He definitely knows his hockey, definitely knows the sports, and he's got some great insight. And it's going to be an interesting week for the Islanders coming up again. The second half of that home and home on Tuesday with Tampa, the return of Genny Nabokov. It'll be an interesting night. And then Friday and Saturday, the back-to-back with the first-place Pittsburgh Penguins.
That's a big showdown.
It was an interesting game last night at Madison Square Garden. Again, you weren't home yet for it, but the Rangers apparently thought they won it in the shootout, but then they go to the videotape and it finds out that Dan Boyle, I always get the Boyles confused, took a double shot, kind of like that double tap of a putt on the 18th green. Kind of messed them up. They all went into the locker room thinking they won. Oops, got back out. And sure enough, Pittsburgh took care of business and got the extra, what is it called? Was Howie Rose called that the fantasy point or the the extra skills competition point? That's it. But again, if you're listening and you want to talk either Islanders, NHL, even we will talk the other sports, football, basketball, maybe not basketball, but baseball definitely. Again, we were all a little excited with the Michael Kidd signing for the Mets this week. But again, the number to reach us here is 631-888-8811. So make sure you come on. I know John Sweeney was probably listening, and he probably wants to talk. I know he's been bugging my my text messaging all week, saying I got to talk Islanders. I got to talk Islanders. And, yeah, so I'm sure he's going
to
be.
My cousin Ralph is supposed to. Ralph, you're out there. Call.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, you know, as we were saying, an 11-6 record is something none of us expected. I, you know, if you put a gun to my head, I would have thought, you know, getting to that 500 points at this level would have been acceptable. You know, being in the middle of the pack. I mean, right now, obviously, the only team that's ahead of the Islanders is the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I think they're 12-4 or whatever. They've got 25 points to the Islanders, 22. So, yeah, it's a 3-point lead at this point. So, you know, you got to be very happy, but again, they have to keep their focus in. I mean, you know, they've done well in the games that you didn't expect them to do. I mean, nobody would have expected them to go through LA and Anaheim and pull both wins. I mean, yes, they did catch an Anaheim team with a bunch of sicknesses, and then we find out obviously it wasn't just sickness, but it was the mumps. Jeez. You know, things that you get as a 6-year-old. You know, these hockey players are getting, and you know they caught LA on a tough night. You know, LA got the opening goal a couple minutes in, and Halak you know, shut them down for the rest of the night, and that started the shutout string, and them going into Arizona and getting that 1-0 hard work win. I mean, that was to me, I thought the Arizona game was the toughest one of the three. And, you know, to sneak out with that Franz Nielsen goal late in the third period with like a little over 3 minutes left, you know, it just shows, you know, and I think Christian was kind of, you know, leading in on it a little bit, but it's nice to see that when, you know, the John Tavares's and the Kyle Postos of the world aren't necessarily getting the top production, that they're getting it from other sources. I mean, Franzi, we all know the great season he had last year, you know, with career numbers and stuff. Josh Bailey is putting up, you know, good numbers for him, you know, and he's silencing a lot of people. Of course, some people still don't like him, but he is silencing some people, and he's showing a lot of passion. You know, yes, Nikolai Kuhlman and Mikhail Grabowski have not put necessarily the big numbers you would expect from them, but they are playing key roles. Yeah. And again, they're getting efforts, and they're getting roles from every line.
Yeah, and Brock Nelson.
Brock is, again, he's
a beast.
He is a beast. I mean, he's everything that they expected, that Garceau expected when they drafted him in that number 30 slot in the first round. I mean, no one expected him to have this much of an impact. They knew he was going to be a good, solid player. You know, it showed in that 1 year in college that he played at North Dakota. But you see, you know, when you can't draft size. You know, I mean, you draft size, but you can't expect, you know, something to happen. You know, the size just comes natural to these kids, and it just seems to, you know, stick his game above so many others.
Using it effectively.
Exactly.
You know, he's a net front presence. He you know, kind of like the Matt Molson tradition. He gets in those dirty areas. You know, Anders Lee's another guy who does it. And I could just, you know, if Lee can develop on that same track as Nelson, that's going to be some pretty amazing depth in the firepower.
And the other thing, and again, I've always been a fan of his since he was drafted, and I'm talking about Ryan Strome. And a lot of people in the Coliseum that I've talked to, especially my good buddy Eddie that sits up in 316, he was a little upset the other night, actually Tuesday night, before, you know, in the first period. He kept saying stuff about Ryan Strome, saying he should be sent down. And I didn't comment, and I really should have. I'm like, I wanted to see what kind of weed was he smoking before the game.
Why would he?
Because to me, I mean, at one point, you know, it was a couple of weeks ago, he was leading the league in 5-on-5 assists.
Right.
I mean, and that says something about it. I mean, he's not, to me, he's not going to be a prolific scorer. I mean, you know, he's not the biggest size, and I don't expect him that. But to me, what I was more impressed with when I watched him in junior, and I saw a few games of his, is the ability to be a playmaker, to be a setup guy, and to have that vision of looking one or two plays ahead of what he's seeing to make something happen, and a lot of times out of nothing. And, you know, what's deceptive is he's got a great shot, too. And adding that in, and again, he had two goals in the two games before Tampa, and he's showing signs that he's going to make. He's another one that's going to make that next step. And again, it makes that second line and it makes that third line that much more effective. And it allows, again, it allows the Knights, where JT and Kyle are not having their top game, to have somebody come in and quote-unquote save the day.
If you can roll four lines out and get consistent scoring from each line, there's nobody a team can really protect against.
Exactly. And it just shows that a team like them, you know, as difficult as last season was, as difficult as the struggles that they had with the number of guys being injured and all that, it gave some guys the experience last year of being up with the big club, and that experience has seemed to, in some cases, in the case of Brock Nelson, in the case of Ryan Strome, has seemed to motivate them to no end.
Right.
And you can't predict those things. And again, you know, you've got to be happy. And you know, with this big three-game litmus test Tuesday, you know, Thursday and Friday and Saturday, you got to hope they come out 2-1.
That's it.
You know, you need them to keep that pressure on Pittsburgh and keep themselves ahead of the
everybody
Washingtons
else,
and
right.
the Rangers and the Flyers that are coming up. And the Flyers are going to be coming in next week. So that's another big test. You got Washington coming up in the next couple of games. You know, they're
starting. There's no easy night in the Eastern Conference. That's really what it comes to.
No, and even a team like Florida that people were making comments about, they played a pretty tough game.
Yeah, they came back.
You know, their record doesn't show. I mean, I think they're 5-4-5 or something like that. You know, they're not playing a bad hockey game. You know, Roberto Luongo is come back to his old stomping ground, has done a great job, you know, in net for the Panthers. You know, they've got a very young core. They've got a bunch of very young kids. You know, five of their main players are under the age of 22 right now.
Yeah, it's an impressive team.
It's an impressive young team. And again, you know, you look at the Lightning last night and they are...
Forget it. That's a scary
They are the cream of the crop in the Eastern Conference right now, like it or not. And, you know, a couple of those former Rangers have done a nice job for them. Ryan Callahan, of course, scored a goal last night. For Tampa Bay, Anton Stroman has done well on defense. Brian Boyle had a great start for Tampa, slowed down a little bit, but, you know, another guy you can't teach with his size. You know, they've got a strong team up and down, and they've got a couple of young firepower kids. I like Aaron Johnson and, in the number two line, you know, behind Steven Stamkos, and Valtteri Filppula is another good solid
right.
player, you know, another one of, the Detroit guys that Mr. Yzerman stole away from his old team and brought down to Florida. And to me, you know, we didn't mention it, you know, when we were talking about the game, but Ben Bishop was a freaking monster last night. I mean, you know, not only the fact that, you know, at a guy at 6'7", he's huge. You know, he covers a lot of net just standing there, you know. You know, you could just put tape on him and just leave him sit there, and you're only going to get maybe a goal or two past him. But, you know, if you get something over his shoulder or something like that, you know, pat yourself on the back. You've done a great job. But he made a couple fantastic saves in the third period. I mean, and you could hear, you know, the emotion in Howie and Butch talking about it, you know, during the game that, you know, it was just phenomenal. And to me, he kept them in that game, you know, as much as, you know, the Islanders made some mistakes on the power play, didn't get much, you know, tension in front of the net, you know, when they were the man up, you know, Ben Bishop came through and basically saved their toast.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely.
And, you know, it makes a big difference. I'm just actually now going on to ESPN and just double checking the score on the New England Patriots. Actually, the Patriots just scored another touchdown. Patriots are up 14-3 late in the second quarter. Unfortunately, my fantasy team, I'm relying on Andrew Luck. I mean, he's actually doing not too bad. He's 11 for 16, 150 yards, but has thrown an interception. And I need some help here. I need some help on my fantasy team. So.
I don't even want to talk about fantasy football.
Yeah, I know you've had a tough year about that. But
yeah.
Again, if you know, we still got some time. You want to talk some puck with us or any other sports? The number again, 631-888-8811. We will talk Rangers. So if we do have some Ranger fans on the line, I know. I wonder. You know, speaking of that game last night in Pittsburgh, I wonder how Derek Wasiak.
I haven't talked to Derek. Derek, if you're out there, call in.
What's your thought about this?
I'm just curious about the season. How he feels. I haven't gotten to listen to any of the broadcast of the.
He's been quite passionate. I know him and John have had some very spirited. Mm-hmm. I mean, mostly it's been mostly Jets, but you know the Jets we don't want to talk about right now, and I know. Mr. Ryan is $100,000 lighter in his wallet thanks to that little display he had after the game. And I can't blame him for it as well. But, Derek, if you're out there, I really want your take on the double shot that Boyle had. You know, you as a referee especially, I would love to get his take on what, you know, he thought about that, you know. And, you know, it's a tough way to lose a game. And, you know, and I know the Hockey Night Live guys, and I think Sam Rosen have mentioned at the end of the season, you hope and pray that the Rangers don't lose, whether it's a playoff spot itself or an advantage, maybe to a home ice advantage or whatever, based on that one point that they lost as a result of thinking that they won the game and then lost the game in the shootout. You know, that one point could hurt them.
Yeah, that's the thing with the end, especially this season. I just think points like that are going to be so valuable. It doesn't seem like it in November, but there's a lot of parity, I think, especially in the Eastern Conference.
There's no question about it. I mean, you know, there's about five or six teams, and I'm gonna try to go look as we're sitting here talking. That there's only like five or six teams that are only separated, truthfully, by a couple points.
Yeah, it's really close in the standings.
Yeah,
last time I looked.
Yeah, I think we're actually getting a phone call, but I'm actually going to look right up right now and see what that difference is. We do got a caller on the line. Okay. Well, I don't know who this caller is, but you're on with John and Gary on Sports Talk 1240 WGBB, and good evening to you.
Good evening to you.
What's going on?
How are you? Is John Catarista?
Yeah, this is. It's got to be Ralph.
There you go. How are you?
All right. How you doing?
All right there, buddy.
So, what do you think? What's your thoughts?
Yeah. Speak to me. What are we talking about? Hi, kid.
Well, what do you think of the Islanders so far? 11-6. What's your observations? Right. What do you think of the goods and the bads?
I'll tell you one thing. I definitely see a more balanced, improved team this year. Okay? The defense has got depth. If one guy goes out, another guy comes in. Okay? I like the line with Kumulin from Toronto on the Tavares Oposo line.
Right. That's basically what Christian was saying.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I tell you one thing. They are on the way up. Very improved hockey team. Not because I'm a diehard Islander fan, but in general, they are to be, recognized now around the NHL.
Well, we were texting, I think it was after Tuesday's game, and we were saying how when they play well, they are an extraordinarily fun team to watch.
Yeah. Exactly, John. Exactly. Now, let me tell you, last night's game, they were at a – they were a little quiet. Those games every so often. You know that, right?
Right, back-to-backs.
No, this was the first time they actually lost on a back-to-back game. They're the three back-to-backs they've had, they're 5-1. That's a tremendous statistic. I mean, that's why I'm not so I'm a little disappointed on the loss, but I'm not so disappointed in the fact that they still gave the effort. I mean, yeah, they were a little bit out of sync. You know, their power play was a little bit. You know, they were, again, you know, I didn't mention the word. I mentioned it to John before the show, KISS. They have to keep things simple when they're on the road. And when they play their best road hockey, they do keep that simple game. And they had a stat up on the screen last night, John, that since December of last year, they're 25-5-4 on the road.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, they are the best team in the NHL by far. I mean, the next best only has 21 wins. They almost have 25. And that says something about a team that they play so well on the road. And so far, I mean, looking on the stats, I mean, they played 11 games on the road this year, only 6 at home. They're 4-2. That's a good sign. If they can come out of, like I said, we were saying, if they come out of this stretch of, I think they have like 5 home games in the next 8. If they can come out of those 5 home games with at least a 3-2 record and come out 7-4, that means a lot.
Right.
Yeah. Without a doubt. You got to realize they played Tampa Bay last night in Tampa Bay, the highest scoring team in the NHL, okay?
There's no 66 right. goals in 18 games right now. I mean, they are a juggernaut. I mean, they do give up a lot of goals, but they win those 6-4 games.
Right.
I believe we got them on Tuesday night after they played the Rangers on a back-to-back.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about, because I think that we're going to see Mr. Nabokov in between the pipes tomorrow night and
Without
Tuesday night.
Without a doubt. I think you're 100% right. And I'll tell you one thing. The Islanders got to stop that pass and shoot to the net. Drive to the net. Just shoot it.
That's it. They have the back line. You got Letty. You got Boychuk. You got Lubo.
And Hammer too.
Hammer, you know, these guys should just be shooting the puck all the time.
Exactly.
Well, if you watch, you watch Boychuk, and he's always looking to shoot. You can see it. Letty is the deceptive one, and I like it, especially if you looked at the first goal that he scored against Colorado on Tuesday night. You know, because he was a guy, he was up at the point, and all of a sudden he just found a little space in front of the net and just swung up in front, and that rebound just came right to him, and he just walked in. I mean, that's the type of deceptiveness he is. But Boychuk, he's always looked like he's got that gun cocked and ready to go.
Yes. And very good.
I mean, Boston's loss is definitely our game for sure.
I really like Boych for a lot of reasons. But I think Letty, was just as big of a steal. This kid is going to develop into something really, really.
You mentioned a key word there, John. Kid.
Yeah, he's 23
years old.
People don't realize that.
I mean, I know one of my good buddies is a big, huge, huge Blackhawk fan. And I try to make sure I want to rub this in every chance I get because again, the rumor was we were going to get Johnny Oduya, and I really was not thrilled about that at all. But when Letty came into our lap, and I know he's peeved about it, and I love to give it to him.
I got to give Scott Snow some credit. He did a good job this year.
Definitely.
I think he has. He stuck to his guns. He stuck to the fact that he wanted to make sure that he built this team from within, and he got the right moves when he had to. And, again, the biggest thing I applaud him for wholeheartedly, and I see it in the locker room, he wants a quality locker room. He wants guys that are good, not only good players on the ice, but they're good citizens and they're good people off the ice.
And I remember asking him that question a couple of interviews ago, and it was sort of an observation that was in the back of my mind. And I had asked him, do you consider the character of the players that you sign? And he pretty much said, yeah, I mean, that's really what goes into his thought process for signing guys is the impact it's going to have on the locker room.
That's right. That's right. And I'll tell you one thing. I also like the idea that Capuano has been playing a very disciplined style hockey. Remember Al Alba? Remember that, right?
Of course. Mm-hmm. How can you not?
And you know who I love? You know who's going to be a good player? Ryan Strong.
Ryan Strong.
I was talking about him earlier. To me, I see a lot of good qualities. And again, people have been mentioning, I've heard of games, and I'll mention it again. You know, people thought he should have been sent down, and I'm looking at them like, what kind of weed were they on, But he has very deceptive ability, and again, I think his best part of his game, and watch if you can isolate him when you're watching him in a game at the Coliseum, or if you can do it when you're watching him on TV. Especially when he's carrying a puck. Not only is he thinking about how he's bringing the puck up and what he wants to do, but he's looking one or two plays ahead of the game. He's looking to see what's going to happen, as the as their defense comes in or if they go into, behind the net. He's trying to look at other things, looking ahead of the play and finding the right opportunity for somebody. And those types of things, again, that's what I was trying to say. You can't teach that. That's something that's blended, and embedded into your head. That's what I like most about Ryan Strome.
He's got 12 points, right? Isn't he got 2 goals, 10 assists or something?
Yeah,
like
2
that?
And 10. Yep.
Like that.
Yep.
And I'll tell you one thing. Practice, you put this guy and give him ice time, he's going to learn about the other guy. He's getting better. That's the only way. You can't give up on him. You got to keep him going.
Right, and you have the line. I mean, they've been playing it pretty regularly with Lee and what they call it, the new kid line.
Yes. Yep.
So.
Yes, they're looking good. And the only thing that bothered me was Chad Johnson looked shaky last night. I don't know what that was all about.
I'm not worried about him yet. It's still a little early in the game, because he's only had 2 losses. I mean, he's had 4. I think he's 4-2, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm not worried about it just yet. He has had some goals where, unfortunately, I don't think anybody would have beat him. Brodeur would have got beaten. I would have got beaten. But he has given up 1 or 2, unfortunately, very soft goals. Right now, you got to be confident with Halak. He's got his game back. He's got his save percentage up in the .915 range where you expect him to be. Again, right. You look at that difference. I mean, you know, their save, you know, hit that 915 save percentage against the 899 that Nabokov had last year.
Right.
That's .16 can translate, or it's already translated, I think, into at least three or four wins.
Oh, and so no doubt, we had that other guy last year that was shaky. Who was the goalie?
Kevin Poulin or Anders Nilsson?
Yeah, one of those two.
Yeah.
Take your pick.
Poulin, I will tell you right now, is checking the stats out, is doing fantastic in Bridgeport. He's done very well. Bridgeport is actually in first place in their division in the Eastern Conference in the AHL right now. They beat the Rangers team, the baby, the Hartford Wolfpack, back-to-back nights on Friday and Saturday. They've got a very strong team right now. A couple of guys that were not prospects last year. Cale Mullerat is leading the team in points. Ryan Pulock had a great weekend this weekend, had 6 points in three games, including four goals. Griffin Reinhardt did well until he just got hurt, and he's going to be back in a week. But he's back in a week. Colin McDonald has been helping him out. So they've got a lot of guys that are chomping at the bit. So, you know what? It's good, it's good for these guys.
Grabner is out. What happened to Grabner? What's up with
him? Well, Grabner is skating. He's going to be back in about a week. And maybe they're targeting him for, I think, this weekend. He is working very, very hard.
He's faster than they were expecting, I believe.
Yeah.
They were talking December.
They were talking early December, so he's about a week or two ahead of schedule. So, again, big decisions for Jack Capuano to make in the coming. You know, we talked about it with Christian Arnold from Point Blank. It'll be quite interesting. But listen, we're going to let you go because we got a couple more minutes to close off. We appreciate you.
Oh, well,
thanks
always,
for calling, Ralph.
All right, listen, Gary, John. It was nice talking to you.
My pleasure,
too.
Ralph. You take care. Have a good Thanksgiving, okay?
Yeah, have a happy Thanksgiving. Take care, John.
You too.
We just want to, you know, we got a couple about 5 minutes before we get off, but I just want to go through the standings real quick, just to give you a heads up. In the conference, right now, Montreal is in first place, 13-4-1, 27 points. Tampa Bay is 1 point behind them. They played the same number of games. They're 12-4-2 at 26. Again, leading 66 goals.
Wow.
Pittsburgh is third in the conference, 12-3-1, 25 points, 60 goals. They're number two in scoring. The Islanders are in fourth at 11-6, 54 goals for, 50 against, which is good. Boston is actually tied with the Islanders at 22 points, but they played two more games than they have. Detroit, actually, believe it or not, Detroit has the least amount of wins in the conference, and they're sitting in sixth, 8-3-5.
They've been playing well.
They're playing very well. Ottawa had a bad start, but has had a great road trip out in Western Canada. They've won their actually, they were doing well until they lost. I forgot they lost last night in Calgary, but they're 8-5-4 at 20 points. Toronto is 9-7-2 at 20 points. They're in the tied for sixth. The Rangers in Jersey are 7th and 8th, respectively. The Rangers at 7-6-4. The Devils at 8-8-2. Washington, 7-7-3 at 17. Philadelphia, 7-7-2 for 16 at 11th. Florida, 5-4-5. They played the least amount of games of 18 in the league. They've only played 14 games, where everybody else played 17 and 18. Columbus, very slow start. Had a rough time with injuries. To Bobrovsky. The career-ending injury probably to Nathan Horton.
Yeah,
they're 6-10-1. Carolina, 5-9-3. They've struggled pretty much all year. They had a good stretch where they won a few games in a row. Now they've lost three in a row. And then poor Buffalo, 4-13-2, 10 points, given up 68 goals while they've scored only 30. Matt Molson only has, I think, one or two goals this year in 19 games. I mean, they're averaging only 1.4 goals a game. You know, it's a rough patch for them. Just looking real quick at the West, you got Anaheim at 11-3-4. Leading the conference, St. Louis, 1 point behind them. The big surprise in the Western Conference, the Nashville Predators, 11-4-2. Pecorine's been fantastic in net. Philip Forsberg has been a great surprise, that the former Washington Capital first-round pick, who they gave up on, and he's done great wonders. And the resurging Vancouver Canucks with Ryan Miller in net. The Sedin's doing quite well there, 12-6. Chicago in the middle of the pack, 9-7-1, and again, hovering in last place, again, the Edmonton Oilers. The only Canadian team right now, if the playoffs started today, that would not be in.
Right.
And, you know, it's a shame. I mean, you got such great talent on that team. You know, Dallas Eakins was a great coach for the Toronto Marlies, did a fantastic job with them, came here, and it's, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you can do with these guys. I mean, is a big shakeup necessary? You know, there was rumors that Neely Akapov was going to be available for, you know, almost a song, and supposedly the rumor mills were that we were looking at him. God, I hope not. But I know Gar Snow, as much as I know him, I don't think that's going to be the case. But so listen, John, two minutes left in the show. Again, I want to just wish you and your brother and your family a great holiday. And I guess
I wish
everybody that's listening to the show a great Thanksgiving holiday coming up next week.
Eat a lot.
Well, I can't, but you can eat for me, John, all right?
Yeah.
I wish you would. We will be on again on December 16th. I am working the phones, and if I do it right, unfortunately, I don't think it'll be live, but we are going to have an interview next month, hopefully, with Mike Doc Emrick. He's one of my favorite announcers of all time, is a great interview, a great guest, and knows his stuff. And if you check sportstalk1240.com, or my Twitter handle, aisle section 317, at Hockey Blindside for John. We'll give you info as to when the interview is going to be set up and going. But our next show is going to be December 20th at, I think, 8 or 9 p.m. I'm not sure of the time yet, but make sure you check on sports.1240.com and check it out. Again, John, great show as always. Thank you, Christian Arnold, for joining us. This is Gary Harding along with John Panarese and the words of my good friend Bill Hayes. Keep skiing, everybody. Good night, and have a very happy, happy Thanksgiving.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.